Bay Valley and all those that are going out there to help. I want to say this morning that the committed Christian life is not for wimps. And the battles of it have been compared here in 2 Corinthians 4, where we just read, to ancient Roman sporting events. These sporting events, which Paul was aware of, he used. And they can be compared today to such events as boxing, wrestling, mixed martial arts, and so forth. And the first modern comparison I have already used in this passage, because I preached on it, I believe it was either a week ago Wednesday or last Sunday night. I think it was a week ago Wednesday. And I preached on that from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9, the second part. And I used the sporting event of boxing to help you understand what it's like to live a committed Christian life if you're really following the Lord in His will and work. So that sermon I preached from 2 Corinthians 4, 9, the apostle wrote, "Cast down but not destroyed." And based on a modern sporting event of boxing, that means that in the Christian life, you will be more than once knocked down by your opponent, the devil and the world, but you shouldn't be knocked out. So it's cast down but not destroyed, knocked down but not knocked out. Sometimes a boxer will knock a guy out and they'll say, "How'd the fight go?" And they'll say, "Well, he destroyed him." He destroyed him. Well, it says cast down but not destroyed, knocked down but not knocked out. In other words, you get back up again. I mentioned Tyson Fury, who got horribly knocked down by his opponent and got back up in the last round and went on to retain his championship at the time. Now, this morning, I want to preach another message like that one that I preached from 2 Corinthians 4, 9. And really, I could put this title over the first message and this one as well. And if I preach another one, it would fit. And the title of my message this morning is, "What Will It Take to Stop You?" I'm talking about from living the committed Christian life. I'm talking about following Jesus to do His will when it comes to your life. What will it take to stop you? And the scripture I want to use is 2 Corinthians 4, 8, the first part. It says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed." Now, in this second sporting metaphor here, once again, we see somebody serving the Lord, but they're experiencing weakness. How many of you have experienced weakness while you serve the Lord? Yeah. All right, and some of you know exactly what that's talking about right now. I was just talking to the couple here. Their pastor just passed away. Pray for them and their church. But we were talking about how are you doing? And I always say, gloriously, but in a mortal body. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. And here is the sporting event that I'm going to use for wrestling. Wrestling. So, you know, 1 Corinthians 4:10 says, Second Corinthians, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. See, that's what God wants. We're living in these mortal bodies. They're dying bodies. They get sick. They have problems. They have weakness. But we have this inner man that's born again, this glorious new life that's eternal. And so we can always say, "I'm doing gloriously, but in a mortal body." Now, my first message was cast down, but not destroyed. That was from boxing. What's it going to take to KO you? What's it going to take to stop you? But Paul says the devil may knock you down, but the Lord helps you get back up so you're not destroyed. How many of you experienced that in your life? I have, more than once. And now today I'm preaching on, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. And this is I'm going to use now not boxing so much, but wrestling as the main sport. Now, I was on the football team. I was on the track team. For my winter sport, I didn't want to choose basketball. And the wrestling guy tried to get me to wrestle, but I chose swimming for the winter sport. But we did do wrestling in gym class. And let me tell you, wrestling is exhausting. It is so exhausting to wrestle. And I remember that. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 that we do not wrestle as Christians against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. In other words, you're wrestling against Satan and all of his fallen angels in a spiritual warfare. And if you're really committed to serve the Lord, you're going to experience Satan trying to wrestle you down and pin you, you know, and get you to be defeated. And you're going to experience that from the world, because he'll use the world to come at you in all kind of different ways. And so this verse 8 of 2 Corinthians 4, can be used, I believe, of modern high school wrestling and college wrestling. How many know that pro wrestling is fake? It's fake. It's rigged. It's all rigged. I mean, but high school wrestling is real, and so is college wrestling. And you know the goal of wrestling is to get your opponent, his two shoulders pinned to the mat. And the ref will come up, and when he's looking for those two shoulders to get pinned to the mat, and he'll go, "You didn't wrestle, did you? You did football, though, right? Okay." Like that. And when he slaps that mat, you're pinned, it's over, you're done, you've lost the match, you have to stop. And we're talking today about what it's going to take to stop you. You know, in the Roman wrestling in Paul's day, when he said we wrestle, they used to, in the gladiating contest, gladiators, they would throw the guy down, and if they got you on the ground, guess what they were able to do? Poke your eyes out. And that would pretty much end your wrestling career when you got your eyes poked out. You know, that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to get you down and out, and he wants to stop you from being committed to the Lord, from coming to church, from serving the Lord in the ministries. He doesn't want you to keep going. He wants to discourage you. And a wrestler that keeps turning himself on the mat to keep his shoulders up avoids getting pinned, and he's still able to fight on and maybe to come back from being down. He's down, but he can come back. And so that's what this verse is talking about here in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 8. I'll read it again. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. It's like a wrestling illustration. So my first illustration today, and the only one for this morning, what will it take to stop you? Are you pressed but not pinned? Pressed but not pinned. And so Paul is describing that here, and he says we're troubled on every side. Now, the word troubled is a Greek word, philbo or thilbo, and that word means to afflict, to be under pressure, and to be squeezed with no way of being able to free yourself. You know, it's like a wrestler. He's squeezed and he's in a position where he can't get up, he can't get off the mat, and the opponent's trying to pin him there. You know, have you ever felt that way in your Christian life? You see, I'm saying this morning, if you're following the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to come into those places where the enemy is going to squeeze you, and you're not going to have any human way out of the situation. That same word, thilbo, is used in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. It speaks of those believers who will be troubled in the great tribulation. Then they're released from those pressures. They're ready to get pinned, and they're in the great tribulation. They're not taking the mark of the beast, and if they would not be released, Satan would pin them to the point that every believer during the great tribulation would be eliminated, would be killed. There would be nobody left. But God is going to intervene And he's going to come back and rapture us out of this world and out of the grips of Satan so that he can't get at us. That's what God does in your life. So if you're like Paul and you're really surrendered to the Lord and you're committed to do his will and to be involved in his work, he will squeeze you. He will trouble you on every side so you can't extricate yourself from his hold, and his goal is to stop you. His goal is to get you to quit and not to go on. Say, I just give up. I'm not going to go back there. I'm not going to get involved in that church. I'm talking about a real church that serves the Lord. You know, a lot of churches are playing church. They're mocking God. But the Bible says God is not mocked. If you're really serving the Lord, you're going to experience some real hits and some real wrestling. And the question this morning is, in that wrestling, what's it going to take to stop you? Maybe you're being squeezed by the devil in your finances. Maybe you're being squeezed by the devil in your physical life right now. Maybe you're being squeezed by Satan and the world as far as all kinds of things that are pressures that are coming upon you. But what is it going to take to get you to stop soul winning? What's it going to take to get you to stop your involvement in church, maybe in the bus ministry, maybe in Sunday school, maybe in the Christian school, maybe in giving your time and your money to God's work? You're saying, it's just, I can't do it anymore. I got to stop it. I got to stop it. Well, a wrestler who is close to being pinned, when the ref is ready to slap that man, he'll just keep turning to avoid being stopped. And then we need some supernatural help to get out of that situation. So what will it take to stop you to give up before God delivers you while you're being pressed to the point that the devil wants to pin you? You know, he wrote again here in verse 8, we are troubled on every side. We just talked about that, what it means to be troubled, theobo, squeezed or pressured. But the next word, distressed, not distressed, is the word stenokoreo. Stenokoreo. And that means to hem in closely. It means to cramp. To put you into such a narrow place that you cannot escape by your own power and resources. Have you ever felt like that? You're hemmed in and you just can't escape by your own power or resources. So the committed Christian life is geared to lead you into those places. That's why he says here in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 10, always bearing about in the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. What does that mean? That means God, the Holy Spirit, if you surrender to him, will lead you into places where you will be ready to be pinned, where you will be so pressed that you cannot get out, and yet Satan will not be able to pin you. Listen to me, if you rely on the Lord and his strength and his wisdom, if you wait on the Lord, and I said it the other day, when you feel like quitting, when you feel like giving up, when you feel like resigning, postpone that for one more day and say, I'm not going to do it today. I'll do that tomorrow. And then when tomorrow comes, if you still feel like it, say, I'm going to postpone that one more day. And you say, well, what do I do? Keep doing that until you don't feel like quitting anymore. Just take it one day at a time. You know, the Bible says this, though our outward man perishes, our inward man is renewed day by day. You know, your body can be pressed and you can feel distressed, but the inward man cannot die. The inward man cannot get sick. The inward man is your soul and spirit, and you have a born-again spirit, and the Lord keeps renewing that every day. And so don't quit today. Put it off till tomorrow. And then tomorrow, put it off the next day. You'll find God is faithful to renew your inward man. But what will it take to stop you? What will it get you to say, hey, Pastor, I'm quitting the bus ministry. Pastor, I'm quitting the church. I'm quitting this or I'm quitting that. What will it get to stop you? And I'm saying put that off till tomorrow. That's the illustration of wrestling that we're talking about here. And it is a real thing that goes on in our Christian life. So stenocorio means to hem in closely, to cramp. And sometimes you just feel like I'm hemmed in, I can't go forward, I've got to stop. No, don't do that, because God's getting ready to help you. I'm talking about wrestling now, and this phrase is describing a wrestler who's so pressed and troubled, so squeezed, that being pinned seems to be a sure thing. But at the last moment, guess what? God says, I'm taking you out. I'm going to deliver you. You know, my wife is here today, and she's seen me go through a lot of distresses in my ministry, in my Christian life. And the thing she says to me is, somebody's always helping that boy. Somebody's always helping that boy. And you know what? That's what you'll experience if you don't stop, if you don't quit. You will experience the Lord's supernatural help. He will help you to get out of that situation so you can keep going forward. I was talking to a guy the other day, and he was feeling like, I don't have any hope for my future. And I was telling him about King David. King David, it says, after he was persecuted by Saul, after he was one step between him and death, he didn't think he could go on. The Bible says that David did what? He went on. David went on and grew great. And it said, and the Lord was with him. And I told this believer, I said, listen, you will go on after this trial. You will go on after this being squeezed to the point where Satan wants you to feel like you got to be pinned and you got to stop and you got to quit. No, you'll go on and you'll grow great. And you'll experience the Lord being with you. Just don't stop. Just don't quit. And I'm saying this morning, how about you? What will it take to stop you? See, that's what Satan wants. He wants you just to give up. He wants you just to say, okay, pin me. I quit. I surrender. No, don't surrender to Satan. Don't surrender to the world's pressure. Surrender to the Lord and stay with the Lord. That's what you should do this morning. And I'm thinking of the children of Israel at the Red Sea. They're at the Red Sea, and they're there, and you know, they saw no way out. And what did they do? They quit. They just quit. And Moses said, no, stand still and see. The Lord's going to come through here. And he did, and he split the Red Sea, and they were able to go on. They were able to go forward. I'm saying, whatever you're facing that's tempting you to give it up, you wait on the Lord. He will give you a way to go on and to go forward. You know, we just had a situation. We got two buses, and the more expensive bus that we spent, about $7,000 to buy the bus, and then maybe a couple thousand to get all the titles and everything we needed, and about a $9,000 investment. And we had a problem that the cap was left open, and all the antifreeze came out of the bus. And when it did, it really created a problem, and we are not able to run the bus. We put it into a lot. We tried to get it fixed. They didn't fix the situation. And the other day, John Payone, Diane's husband, he said, you know, let me try to get a part for that. We ordered the part. It was about a $700 part. He got the part. He said, I'll work on it. He worked on it for 3 hours. He got the part on the bus. And guess what? When we started to run it, it had leaks like crazy, and we were not able to run the bus again. And we had to tell Brother Matt he couldn't have a bus, but Matt didn't quit. He got his van, the church van, and did two runs with it and picked people up and went forward. And you say, Pastor, what are you going to do with that bus? I'll tell you one thing. We're not going to let us be pinned in the bus ministry. You say, well, what's the answer? I don't know. I don't know the answer. God knows the answer. I'm going to trust him and move that shoulder and, okay, we can't send a bus. We'll send a van for now, and we'll visit like we did yesterday. Brother Matt visited. I visited his route. We visited. We did the work. We're going to keep. Listen, that's what you need to do. What will it take to stop you? Don't let the devil, don't let the world pressure you and stop you. You'll have people that will drop out, people that'll get pinned. You'll have situations where it'll look like you can't go on physically and mentally and everything else. But God says press, but not pinned here in 2 Corinthians 4:8. You are on every hand, you're pressured, but not distressed. That means not pinned. You're pressed, but you're not pinned. Now, we could take that in another way or another illustration. You can use the illustration of, how many have heard of mixed martial arts? It's something popular today. They do that. It's a sport, quite brutal, more like the old gladiators. I love boxing and I love high school wrestling or Olympic wrestling, but this sport is called mixed martial arts. And mixed martial arts is very brutal. They use usually Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and they call that the ground game. And then you can also strike, and you can hit your opponent. You could kick him. You could punch him when he's on the ground, you know. It's a little too brutal. But it is a sport kind of like the old Roman gladiator, and mixed martial arts is a very real thing. Now, what is the goal of mixed martial arts? It's not to be pinned. It's to be tapped out. And that is, you go like that yourself and you say, I quit, I can't go on, and tapped out. And so that goes on. Now many times a guy can be bigger and stronger than another guy, but with Brazilian jiu-jitsu or a ground game, a guy can have a very effective thing. And I had two of my guys in the church that are doing this, right? Two of the guys in the church, they're involved in this wrestling, mixed martial arts, and they're doing this stuff. And the one guy was smaller than the other, and the bigger guy was pretty much getting him. And he had him down, but the guy had all these Brazilian jiu-jitsu things that he learned in the military. And so he got the bigger, stronger guy and got a hold on his ankle. And while he had him in this ankle hold, the bigger guy was just coming down trying to get him to give up. But meantime, the tighter grip was getting tighter and tighter, and it was just to the point where, you know, your bones start to crack. And if he went any farther, the guy's bones would crack. And he was saying, tap out, please. I don't want to, you know, we're brothers in Christ. I don't want to break your bone. The guy wouldn't tap out. So the guy had to make a decision. Either I lose the match or I go, and he decided, I'm going to lose the match. But I'm just saying, don't tap out. God will deliver you. God will help you to keep on going. You don't have to tap out to the devil. You don't have to give in to the devil. What will it take to stop you? And that's what God is saying here, that the devil and the world is against your faith and against your service for the Lord, and will wrestle you into a place where you have to tap out and say, I'm quitting my commitments here. I can't do them anymore. Yes, you can. David went on. He grew great because the Lord was with him. I'm thinking of another hero of the faith that's mentioned in Hebrews 11. But he had a weakness, and his weakness got him in trouble. His name was Samson. You've heard about Samson. And Samson was going with Delilah, a girl he shouldn't have been with. And Delilah was his weakness, and she was offered money to find out the secret of Samson's strength. And she wanted that money, and so she asked him over and over again what was the secret of his strength. He wouldn't tell her. Finally, he gave the secret up because he couldn't take it anymore. She just kept at him and at him. And it was if he would get his locks cut. And while he slept on her lap, she cut his locks off of him. And what happened to him? He lost his strength. And when he lost his strength, because of a woman, the enemy came, the Philistines came, and they grabbed Samson. And what did they do to him? I talked about wrestling and putting the eyes out. They took hot pokers and they burned his eyes out. Psst, psst. So Samson had no eyes. Then they made him be put in chains, and he started grinding grain for them by pushing this wheel around that ran over the wheat and ground the grain to make their bread. And that's the work that he was doing. So this once strong man who had God's power and was used of God, now he's just grinding grain to make bread for the enemy. And they loved it that he was defeated in this wrestling thing. But you know what? Samson hadn't really tapped out. Because even though he was blind, even though he did grind, he didn't tap out. Because, you see, they said, "We've defeated him. So let's celebrate the victory of our God Dagon over his God, Jehovah God." And that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to mock you. He wants you to quit. He wants to point to you as a failure. And that will make the devil happy. And he thinks he can put God down. Don't tap out. You can be pressed. You are pressed. God said you'll be pressed. But you don't need to be pinned. You don't need to quit. You don't need to give up. And so Samson, you know, he was definitely pressed. He was definitely at the end. No eyes, so to speak. No strength left. But the Bible does say something. It said, "Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again." And so while they were getting ready to laugh and say, "We got the victory over him," they had this great big celebration. They had a great big amphitheater with big two pillars in the middle and a big seating capacity on top of those pillars on top and a seating capacity below that. And they had maybe, 3,000 people in there or more. And Samson was performing for them, and they were laughing and mocking him. And he had a little lad that was helping him while he was blind to find his way. And he said to the little lad, "Would you please lead me like a seeing eye dog to stand between these two pillars here?" And the little lad said, "Okay." And he led him over there. And he put his hands on one, his left hand on one pillar, his right hand on the other pillar. And the Bible said he bowed himself. In other words, he got between the two pillars. And instead of tapping out and saying, "I quit, I give up, I'm just going to be the devil's disgrace," he prayed to God. And he said, "Just one more time, Lord, let me punch back. Just one more time, let me get a victory here." And you know what? The Bible puts him in Hebrews 11 as a hero of faith. He had failed God. He'd done bad things. But he didn't let that stop him. Some of you, you've had past failures and sins in your life, and you have consequences, but you can still go on and do something for God. The devil got you down, but you can get back up today, and you can get right with God, and you can go forward today and do something great. And so Samson, he pushed after he prayed, and guess what? God gave him that strength, that supernatural strength that he needed, and he pushed, and those pillars began to... And the Philistines are like, "What's going on here? What, this guy? We messed with the wrong guy?" and the whole thing came down. And all of those thousands of people who were mocking Samson's God were destroyed. And do you know what? Samson, who had failed God, when he stretched out his hands like this, he was a type of Christ dying on the cross. Because it says that Samson, when he did that with his hands and all of that came down, he killed more people by dying than he did while he was alive. And the last I checked out, Jesus did more by dying on the cross than he did for us in his life when he did his miracles. Because that was the greatest work he did. He paid for our sins. He defeated Satan. Satan thought he had him because he looked weak. Satan was mocking him on the cross. How do I know? The Pharisees were like, come on down from the cross. And they were mocking him. But wow, don't mess with God's man, the Savior of the world. I'm just saying, you'll be at times when people will mock you. People will mock your church. They'll mock your faith. They'll mock your God. I've been there many times. You can count me down, but don't count me out. Because God will bring you out. You stay with Him. Confess your sin if you failed Him. Get counsel. And God will lead you out, and He will lead you to punch back at the devil. What will it take to stop you? Will sin stop you? You know, the Bible says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know, Satan will get you to sin, and then he does evil because he wants to use your sin against you to stop you. But that's not God's purpose. God wants to restore you. God wants you to get you back up on your feet so that you can get your supernatural strength back and punch back at the devil. Let me say this as I conclude this morning. I can't help but think of the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 18. He was going out preaching the gospel. People were getting saved. He was making these churches formed. And he got to spend 3 weeks in a city in Europe called Thessalonica. He spent 3 weeks there, and God did a work there, and this church got formed, and these people were excited about the Lord coming back. The devil didn't like it, and he started punching them. By the way, if you're doing something for God, the devil will attack you. And the devil was punching him, and the people who were the opponents of his in Thessalonica, there were Jewish people that didn't believe. They went to the authorities in the city and they said, we want this guy arrested and everything like that. So the authorities were going to arrest him, but they decided when his helpers came to them, if you will give us a pledge of money that you will get Paul out of town, we won't try to arrest him or arrest you. But you have to give us money, and we'll keep that money if you don't get Paul out of town. So they told Paul, you got to leave. You got to leave Thessalonica. You got to get out of Dodge, Paul. And he goes, okay, I'll leave. I've got the church going. I'll leave and I'll go to the next city. And so they gave the money and they went to the next city. And here's what Paul wrote to this church when he had to leave. He said that he wanted to come to them. He said, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Satan hindered us. Had you ever wanted to do something and Satan hindered you? Yeah, he does that. But I preached a message on this verse one time, and it was called Hindered But Not Halted. Hindered But Not Halted. It's one thing when Satan hinders you. He can do that, but he can't halt you unless you let him. He can't stop you unless you let him. He cannot pin you unless you give up to him. He cannot get you to tap out unless you tap out, because the pressure is too much. And it looks like my bones are going to get broken. By the way, not one bone on Jesus' body got broken. They pierced his side, they pierced his hands, they pierced his feet, but not one bone was broken. He fulfilled the prophecy of the Word of God. And when he went down into death and into the grave, by the power of God, he got back up again. And Satan can never get him down again. And if you're a believer, Satan can never get you back down into that place of death and into that place of defeat. You are victorious in your spiritual life. People can discourage you. The devil can attack you. The world can be against you. But the Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Last I checked out, God is for us if you're for Jesus, if you have put your faith in him. Now, let me just say this morning. If you haven't repented of your own righteousness and trusted Jesus alone to save you, then you're on the losing side. If you think you're going to get to heaven by going to church or getting baptized or doing something, you know, it says, for by grace you save through faith, that not of yourself. It's the gift of God. You need to receive the gift of God this morning through simple faith in Jesus. And if you haven't put your trust in him to save you, listen, give up anything in yourself to get you to heaven and trust Jesus, and he will not disappoint you. He will save you, and then you can surrender to follow him, and he will lead you into the places of weakness. He will lead you into the places where you'll be under pressure. He will lead you into places where you'll get knocked down, but you don't have to be knocked out. And today, God is saying, what will it take to stop you? I know you're pressed, but you don't have to be pinned. I know that you're stressed. I know that you're out of options in some places, but you don't have to tap out and say, I give up. No, say, Lord, I'm waiting on you. I'm standing still and waiting on your salvation, and he will help you. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed. We've been talking about prayer.